Good evening, New York. Thank you for tuning in to The Rundown on WNYU 89.1 FM here in New York City and online everywhere at WNYU.org. I'm your host, Aria Young. Today is Wednesday, November 30th, and we have two stories prepared for you tonight. First, we will hear about the public's reaction to Elon Musk's Twitter buyout. And then we'll learn about a new addition to the NYU faculty for the spring semester, former Mayor Bill de Blasio. So without further ado, let's jump into our first story on Elon Musk. In this segment, reporter Michael Batavia will give us an update on the antics of Elon Musk and what has happened since he bought Twitter in October. It's an update on the series of layoffs that have happened under Musk as the new CEO, the critical reaction from the media, and the new verification process that Musk plans to implement. So let's hear the story.
For WNYU 89.1 FM, I'm Michael Batavia. It has been a long time since April of 2022 when Elon Musk first expressed interest in buying one of the most major social media companies the world uses today. With one simple statement and one simple offer, Musk put down a bid to buy out Twitter for $54.20 a share, equaling a grand total of $44 billion for the wealthiest person in the world to reshape democracy. In his own words, Musk stated, "Twitter has extraordinary potential. I will unlock it." The transaction, as we all know it, wasn't immediate. In order to believe he was buying a platform that allowed for a free and democratic exchange of values and ideas, Musk wanted to examine the amount of bots and spam accounts on the platform. These accounts exist because Twitter allows anyone to sign up for a developer account and use its API to create bots. While some bots have been used for good, such as allowing users to play interactive games, others can be used to spread misinformation, and it's quite hard to tell the difference of whether a given account is a bot or a real account based on just its Twitter bio. For this reason, Musk wanted to ensure that Twitter's statistics regarding the percentage of bot users was correct, as Twitter could be overvaluing itself and the amount of real users it actually has. It is with this in mind that several court cases soon followed that challenged each of the sides, with Musk's claim that Twitter was overvaluing the amounts of real users it actually had, and Twitter claiming that Musk was backing out of a finalized deal. In the end, though, Musk resubmitted his bid to buy the company, and on October 28th, Musk finally bought out Twitter, changing its status from a public to a private company, becoming the CEO of said company, and promptly firing all of its chief executives. It's the beginning of a new era. One of the most immediate changes that Musk made was beginning a massive series of layoffs. In a company-wide email sent to workers, Musk and his team wrote, "We recognize that this will impact a number of individuals who have made valuable contributions to Twitter, but this action is unfortunately necessary to ensure the company's success moving forward." Furthermore, the email stated that workers would be notified on their company email if their employment would be reshuffled at Twitter, or on their personal email if their employment was impacted. Musk sought to reassure advertisers in this process that Twitter would not become a free-for-all hellscape, and that this firing would be healthy for the company. Generally, this statement is true for most companies. The more bloated a company becomes with employees, the less important each worker becomes in contributing to the company's mission. If workers no longer align with the company mission, then they can choose to quit, and that's exactly what many workers did. Similar layoffs have also happened with other big tech companies during this time, with Meta recently laying off about 13% of its employees. According to ABC, those laid off will still remain employed at Twitter and receive compensation and benefits until January 2023 with severance pay, but they will have to return in all of their company property within the week. Elon Musk's acquisition of Twitter has also changed the company's approach for governance of its users and its stream of revenue. Instead of focusing on making money with advertising, Musk plans to roll out a revamped version of Twitter Blue, which will allow users to edit their tweets, get priority notifications for replies and mentions, and get fewer advertisements for just $7.99 a month. Musk has also reinstated controversial users such as former President Donald Trump, internet personality Andrew Tate, and rapper Kanye Ye West. Such rapid changes has caused mixed reactions in the media. Here's CBS national correspondent Jonathan Vigliotti about the two-day pause on CBS's use of Twitter.
In light of the uncertainty around Twitter and out of an abundance of caution, CBS News is pausing its activity on the social media site as it continues to monitor the platform, Major.
And here's Fox News host Greg Gutfeld.
The bottom line, it's great watching someone run a company with full transparency. He does everything with the door open. Even more, Musk is willing to ask seemingly obvious questions that no one ever had the guts to ask.
And finally, here's UCLA students and Atlas fellow Snigdha Roy on my podcast.
That's funny. People that are complaining about Twitter are complaining it on Twitter.
You're benefiting Elon Musk by saying it on Twitter. What's your point?
So yeah, anyway, what do I think? I think Twitter is probably going to stay. Like, it doesn't seem likely because then it'll like go off the grid or like leave or whatever. People, or like there'll be like a mass exodus. I'm not convinced. I think people like will try to make efforts, but that's just cope. People are just coping.
All in all, this continues to be a developing situation, and we'll update you here on WNYU to give you the student point of view in case something drastic happens. Until then, Elon Musk will remain as chief twit, taking the platform as seriously as he takes Dogecoin right now. For WNYU 89.1 FM, this has been Michael Batavia.
Thank you, Michael. And our next story is about an incoming lecturer at NYU. The Robert F. Wagner Graduate School of Public Service is getting a surprising new teacher added to its ranks, Bill de Blasio. Some students are mocking this new addition to the school, while others are in full support. Bridget Rudolph has the story.
WNYU 89.1 FM, I'm Bridget Rudolph. Every New Yorker, whether you love him or you hate him, knows the name Bill de Blasio. As I'm sure most listeners know, Democrat Bill de Blasio served as the 109th mayor of New York City from 2014 to 2021. Over the course of his term as mayor, he implemented body police cams, couldn't stop a raging spike in crime, made a free universal pre-K program for all of NYC, and flopped in the 2020 presidential race. And to add to his complicated resume, as of this coming spring, he will be teaching at NYU. Yes, you heard right. Bill de Blasio will be teaching at NYU this spring. He'll teach a graduate-level class as a visiting professor at the Robert F. Wagner Graduate School of Public Service. The course he will be teaching is called Topics in Public Policy, How Policy Gets Made, Effective Strategies at the Intersection of Government and Politics. Coursework and classes aside, Bill de Blasio has a complicated history with New Yorkers. So, what do NYU students think of him teaching at their school? Many students reacted to the news with mocking, their dislike for de Blasio apparent, while others came to his defense. In an interview with Jen Curtis, a Wagner student looking to apply to de Blasio's class, she said, quote, "I'm in support of Bill de Blasio teaching at NYU. De Blasio went to NYU, and we can learn a lot from him. I am taking de Blasio's class so I can hear his perspective on how he made certain decisions and how he handles public scrutiny," end quote. While it's hard to find someone with more public policy experience than a former mayor of one of the busiest cities in the world, we're all left asking, what kind of teacher will de Blasio be? And what do the students taking his class think he will be like? Again, we have Jen Curtis saying, quote, "I am definitely looking forward to de Blasio's class. I hope he is open and facilitates great conversations. NYU Wagner is a school of public service, and de Blasio did just that. He served New York City. Part of the duty of public service is not only the actual years you served, but also the years afterward, where you can share with others what you have learned. I am looking forward to that part of de Blasio's public service," end quote. While spring classes have yet to start, we'll be sure to follow up in the spring to see how de Blasio is doing over at the Wagner School and what kind of teacher he is. For WNYU 89.1 FM, this has been Bridget Rudolph. From
And we just heard from Bridget Rudolph about former Mayor de Blasio joining NYU. And that's all for the rundown tonight. If you liked what you heard, want to hear something different, or if you want to submit a tip for a story, you can email me at associatenews@wnyu.org. Next up is our podcast block, so stay tuned, and I hope you enjoy the show today. I will be here next Wednesday, 7 p.m., to bring you more local alternative news. I'm Aria Young, and this has been The Rundown on WNYU 89.1 FM.